Jimmy Butler, he is a wonderful athlete. Jimmy Butler, nicest guy in the whole wide world. He's so good at shooting threes. Oh yeah, you give the ball to Jimmy Butler and he's gonna shoot it and it will probably go in. He is a
really guard. Lyrical genius on that one, man. It's just amazing music that you found there, Zim. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. A huge week for Chicago sports, not just the wins and losses in that category, but, I mean, really some movement in really all facets of the major sports franchises in this town. Most notably, though, tonight the Chicago Blackhawks are on the clock. They have the 26th pick. They've got 17. They're only at the 17. They still have 9 to go. Till they pick at the 26. The Bulls last night, superstar Jimmy Butler shipped to Minnesota. The Cubs demote Kyle Schwarber. Lots going on, so we thought we'd bring in Mark Carman. He's on the line right now. Carm, wow, this is one for the – when they say that the summer starts to slow down, this is a week for the ages.
It really is. Justin, thanks for having me. You can start wherever you want. I think it's a I think it's kind of – I mean, obviously the Hawks and Bulls are in different spots here, but I think there is a little bit of similarity in sadness, comma, joy for both on what they've done.
Yeah, let's start with the Blackhawks since, you know, they're waiting right now, and, of course, they're hoping to get something tonight as they've got the 26th pick. But a flurry of trades and some well-known names that we've come to love. The word that kind of circulated is painful to see these guys go, and some return guys. But talk about these moves tonight because, you know, management said they wanted to shake it up, and this is pretty much a shakeup.
Right. Well, I mean, Stan Bowman, again, proving to be a man of his word, right? You go out in the first round, you get swept, and he was not satisfied. Obviously, no one was, and changes was coming. No one saw this, though. I mean, the bread man leaving town, I mean, Nicholas Hjalmarsson, you get a little bit younger, you get a little bit more physical with your defense, okay. But trading Panarin, who, I mean, him and Patrick Kane, everybody knows their relationship was incredibly strong on the ice. No one saw that coming, and along with that, obviously, no one saw Brandon Saad coming back to the Blackhawks. But I think it's super interesting because Saad can pair with Jonathan Toews. Hopefully you get him back to the level that he's accustomed to playing. And, you know, he's obviously extremely motivated, as he always is. So and it's a huge salary deal, right? Yeah. I mean, they're getting more years of control, and they still have their, you know, prime time.
I think we lost Carm there, or maybe he's still on the line, but it sounds like we might have dropped him there. But that's a good point. We didn't even think about the idea of salary. That's the one area that it's funny because Brandon Saad, he has to go after the Hawks win the cup, and we kind of see all of these players that really contributed to years have to go. If you're not part of the core, the Hawks are going to have to deal because they're getting so close to the salary cap. You know, so you can understand, like, you know, the pain that we had to go through to lose a Brandon Saad. But it's interesting to see how the Hawks can maneuver to get him back. I mean, it's tremendous. I mean, Artemi Panarin, like we said with Rob, we were just talking. I mean, I don't know. The concept of that kid was really, really good on the ice. And we really had a rookie of the year. Loved it. I mean, amazing, amazing player for the Blackhawks. But in the last 2 years in the playoffs, when they needed someone to step up that wasn't Patrick Kane, that wasn't Jonathan Toews, we didn't see it from Artemi Panarin. And Brandon Saad, I mean, say what you will, they're different types of players, but Brandon Saad did a tremendous job of making an impact in the playoffs, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that was what was most important. So the Hawks bring in a familiar face, and, you know, we'll talk when we get Carm back on about Marian Hossa and the loss of Marian Hossa and what that means. I believe that we've got him back in the line. Carm, you there, buddy? You still there?
Justin, you there?
Yep.
Yeah, I apologize.
No worries.
Hopefully that won't happen again.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, a ton of moves. I mean, obviously, we were just talking about it. You know, bringing Brandon Saad back, but the loss of Marian Hossa, with still questions about whether Marcus Kruger's going to be here. Trevor Van Riemsdyk gone in the expansion draft. I mean, from what you could see, the pluses and the minuses, where are we with this squad? I mean, what kind of team do we have on the roster?
Well, okay, let's look at what's happened here, right? You have a 109-point team that everyone thought was going to make a cup run, and it just didn't happen in the worst scenario possible. However, Nashville ends up going to the Stanley Cup Finals, easily could have won, was right there. So to me, that's a little bit of, you know, softens the blow. You know, the other side is that you're looking long-term and you're looking short-term. And to me, I mean, you're Saad for Panarin, that to me is I don't know, upgrade, same, equal, right there. Marian Hossa, love him, phenomenal career, Hall of Famer, incredible, the whole thing. But the reality is that he's, you know, getting up there in age.
It's
and he had a great
right,
year
right.
last year. But, you know, he wasn't, the year prior, it was a down season, and the Hawks were incredibly, incredibly competitive. So I don't look at this team as anything but a Stanley Cup contender. I still think they're very much in the mix. You still got Crow, you still got Kane, you still got Taze, and you put your trust in Stan. I think that listen, Brandon Saad's been great for Columbus, and they've been having seasons they've never had there.
Yeah.
So I think the Hawks are very much in the mix.
All right, let's transition to the Bulls. Last night, a shocker, and once again, and I mean, we had this problem with the, oh boy, with the Bears, but the Bulls as well, where the league has spoken, the critics, the media, and pretty much fans alike have kind of pointed this out to say that the Timberwolves got the better of the deal. Do you see it that way, that the Chicago Bulls could have got more for Jimmy Butler?
I actually don't. Look, you know, they tried to get the third pick from the Celtics. Boston wouldn't do it. They tried to get the fourth pick from the Suns. Boston wouldn't do it. So, Phoenix wouldn't do it. So, listen, I'm sure they were calling everybody under the sun. And the fact of the matter is Jimmy's great. I love Jimmy Butler, tremendous competitor. But, you know, you're talking about 2 years of control, and then you're talking about a $200 million contract. And teams weren't going to give up, you know, 5 years on a rookie deal for the top guys in the draft, especially in a year where the draft's very strong.
Yeah.
So you got a super young, talented backcourt now in Dunn and LaVine. They could, by the way, if they had picked Zach LaVine when they took Doug McDermott, that would have been a good move. Obviously they didn't do that. But I like Zach LaVine. Now he's coming off an ACL tear. That's terrifying, and everybody makes everyone think of Derrick Rose. But I don't know how much more they were going to get. I mean, I really don't. And I as much as I love Jimmy and will miss Jimmy, I do appreciate the Bulls picked the lane. And, you know, okay, you bring Jimmy back with Wade and Rondo. We're dreaming about a run to the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Now, I would enjoy that because I like going to the games and covering a somewhat relevant team. But if I'm the organization and I'm trying to win, I think what they did makes sense.
Yeah. What kind of team, I mean, do you see with the team being younger and the sort of, I mean, even in the, think about the last couple of years, Taj Gibson's gone, McDermott's gone, who knows from this, they have 5 point guards right now, they're going to have to get rid of some of those guys. Are we seeing also a molding of a roster in the way that Fred Hoiberg wants to play, younger, faster, shooters, things like that?
See, now that one's where I do start to get a little physically ill, because, I mean, Justin, you know, like, what has Fred Hoiberg ever done where you would even remotely consider building a roster around, like, the quote-unquote skills of Fred Hoiberg? I just find that to be so incredibly ridiculous. Like, if you're a good coach, you take the talent that is on your team and you make the most out of it. Now, you know, this is a ridiculous thing to say because Pat Riley's Pat Riley and Fred Hoiberg's Fred Hoiberg. But Pat Riley coached the Lakers. They ran up and down the court, and they won championships. Then he went to New York, and they had a bruising Knicks team, and he coached that team. You know, it shouldn't be, well, we got to get players that fit around his style. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let alone a guy who's never done anything in the league, you know, coaching. And I like Fred, nice guy and all, but, I mean, come on. But, and the other thing is, you know, okay, you want shooters. Chris Dunn can't shoot. I mean, that's your point guard. Cameron Payne can't play. Rajon Rondo, if they bring him back, he's not a shooter either. So I don't see like this. You know, LaVine can shoot it, and I guess marketing for a big guy can as well. But Fred, I don't think Fred is long for the Bulls after call it next season. I mean, the team's going to struggle. They're going to most likely be in the lottery, and I don't think, how can you extend Fred Hoiberg at that point?
Yeah. You know, as we look at that team and you think about these young guys that are been brought to, what can we expect from them? I mean, we have short memories, but I mean, man, Chicago Bulls fans are still, I mean, still hurting from 1998 to 2000 whatever when Derrick Rose came, where there has, you know, we weren't able to do anything. I mean, are we back to those days? I mean, can we trust Gar Forman and John Paxson to usher us quickly to being a relevant playoff contender?
See, I think you can have some optimism with Pax. I mean, he did do the initial rebuild with Ben Gordon and Kirk Heinrich and Nocioni. Throw some names from like the early 2000s where the Bulls got relevant again. And then, of course, they lucked into Derek and they went to a whole nother level and finally made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, to me, that's all about John Paxson. Gar Forman, once he's been the GM, I mean, he's known for one thing and one thing only, really, and that's everyone calls this guy a liar. I mean, from Jimmy Butler's trainer to different people that I've, you know, talked to around the organization who are no longer with the organization. It's just very confusing to me that he has the job security that he has. So to have trust in Gar, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
I don't quite get why he has the job he has, to be honest.
All right, let's make one last transition to the Chicago Cubs. Right now, trailing the Miami Marlins in the sixth by a run. But let's talk about this. Kyle Schwarber sent down to the minors. Of course, their depth being challenged right now with Zobrist and Hayward on the DL. You know, Pete and I were kind of talking right at the top of the show about, you know, this idea that Cubs fans are just kind of chilling out because they're like, they'll make a run. But this team has been mediocre at best and has not shown any flashes of being a competitor or contender at this point. Where are the Cubs, especially with the move to demote Kyle Schwarber?
Well, I was waiting for it. I think a lot of people were, right? You can't have the guy with the worst batting average in the league, on your roster, especially when he's a young player who hopefully will gain a lot of confidence going down, find himself, and come back and be productive. I think, you know, Schwarber in the leadoff hole, although he would never admit it, I think it messed up his season. And so maybe a mental break will help him.
Yeah.
I still think, I mean, you know, when it comes to the Cubs right now, and Cubs fans with their confidence, it's because of the division, right? I mean, nobody thinks that the Milwaukee Brewers are going to win the division, and the rest of the division is under 500. So, I mean, they've got the same amount of losses as Milwaukee, and basically nothing's gone their way. I mean, Addison Russell, until recently getting hot, has stunk. Schwarber has been terrible. The pitching, John Lackey's given up another home run tonight, and now the Marlins are up 2-0. So, you know, they haven't. The Kyle Hendricks DL thing, I guess, is the biggest concern. Going into the season, I said that he was the key to the whole thing because their pitching is thin.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was so far out over his skis in how he performed last year that if he went south, then I thought you had a problem because you figure that Lackey's getting older, he's going to regress. Arrieta, I didn't think he would be this bad, although he pitched well in his last game. But, you know, I figured he'd stay around where he was last year. And Lester would have a downtick, but you needed Hendricks, and right now you just don't have him. So I think it's a team that can get in the playoffs, but I don't think it's a team that can do anything in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I kind of lied at the top where I'm like, well, all we have updates on all five. The White Sox got nothing going on. Mark Carman, at the Carm on Twitter. Thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin. See you, man.